You are listening to EP Culture Beat, the underground source of El Paso, Texas.
Is up, Bionicles. It's your main man, Sucio, aka Cerberus, aka Thought Boy Supreme, aka Lesbian Wolverine, aka Cobija-chan, aka ex-boyfriend of everybody's mom. Welcoming you back to another episode of EP Culture Beat, your source for the underground arts and culture of El Paso, Juarez. Now, before we continue, make sure you hit the like, share, subscribe, follow, whatever it is. We are available on all major streaming platforms of your choice. So please do that right now. And thank you. I thank you in advance. Now, for today's episode, we originally encountered today's guest on a mystic quest of his own in the Tiburon Mountains. Since then, his power levels have increased and expanded because of his new adventures in cultivation and music, with a noble journey of bringing the healing power of cannabis to the gods and the earth. We welcome to the show Ghost Genetics out of Sunland Park, New Mexico. Thank you for being on the show, brother.
Hey, thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Well, please introduce yourself. Obviously, I don't know all your monikers. You got multiple monikers. You do multiple projects. So please introduce yourself. Tell us who are we speaking to right now?
You're speaking to Ghost Genetics, CJ. Most people call me CJ. If you're a friend of mine, that's what you call me. So,
well, I ask this because you got a music project. You got these other things. Yeah. Let's just say this. Before we talk about the plants, the science, the awards, the art, I want to know, are you excited for the new Dragon Ball Super movie? And do you think that Cell is going to be the bad guy of it?
I don't know, man. I'm always excited for a new Dragon Ball Super movie, but to see Cell come back, that would be pretty exciting. I'm a big fan of Cell. I actually have a strain called Perfect Cell, so that'd be pretty exciting.
Oh, you have a strain called, because I wanted to get into that too. You got a huge backlot. You got Majin Buu stuff. I know Majin Buu's your number one, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So Majin Buu's your number one. I'm a Trunks guy.
I'd probably say him and Vegeta, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I really like the character of Majin Buu, but my favorite all-time Dragon Ball Z character is Majin Vegeta.
Why? Why? Because he's so ruthless?
I just, you know, because even though he was overcome by the power of Majin and Babidi and Bibidi's powers, so, you know, and even though he was able to still stay the same and do what he had to do to try to protect the people he cared about, you know, I just, that arc, that whole Majin Buu arc was one of my favorites, like, definitely.
A lot of character building in that one,
yeah,
for sure.
Definitely, yeah.
Now, as for you, I want to know your origins. I want to know your backstory. I want to know where this comes from. Obviously, Ghost Genetics comes from something. The inspiration for Dragon Ball comes from something. So let's take this back. You know, let's go to the beginning of the journey. Okay. What led you down this path?
Honestly, what led me down this path is when I was younger, I used to get in trouble because I was smoking during high school. I went to alternative schools, stuff like that, kicked out of school. But what really changed everything was I was burned really bad in like a little explosion, a fire.
I actually suffered
third degree on my arms. But I went to actually the wound care clinic here in El Paso for like 2-3 months. I was homeschooled out of I was not going to school because I was severely burned. But during that time, I was taking like Vicodins and stuff like that I were prescribed. And I was only like,
How old were you?
14, 15 years old. Yeah, so. And then, you know, so my mom can see that I was there. Like, she'd come into my room and I'd be like a zombie, you know.
Oh, back in the day, they would throw them at us.
You know what I mean? Exactly. So she actually let me start smoking cannabis. And then from there, it turned in from me going out on the streets, skating with my friends, getting in trouble for smoking, to me being able to medicate and recover at home and being able to smoke cannabis instead of taking pills that when one of my friends come over, I can't even have a conversation with them. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I'm on drugs that a kid shouldn't even be on, you know? So
yeah, absolutely.
From there, it turned into a plant growing in my closet. And from that was probably like my junior year, I want to say.
So, 16, 17?
Yeah, exactly. So I was 16.
One plant, one light?
Yeah, exactly. And I didn't know what I was doing. So for like my first two plants, they grew nice, but I didn't know nothing about feeding them. I was just watering them. I didn't know nothing about what kind of light they would need. So by the end of the cycle of life for that cannabis plant, it was a couple little flowers here and there, nothing really worth smoking, nothing.
No females
growing. Yeah, exactly. Well, there was females, but I just wasn't giving them what they needed.
Okay.
So back then when I started growing, there was YouTube, but you had fighting videos, cat videos, you know what I mean? You didn't have what you have today where you can jump on the internet and Google how to pretty much do every single step that it takes.
Real tutorials.
To grow cannabis. Yeah. So the information that you have out there nowadays is it's crazy. So I just want to share that information. So after I started growing pretty much in my closet for the first couple times, when I was about getting to the end of my senior year, I was already going back and forth to California to stay with my uncle during summer vacations and stuff like that. And he lived in San Francisco. He actually had one of the first medical cards in San Francisco back in the day. He got it around 2005, 2007 era, I want to say. He knew that I was trying to grow and everything. So he actually was able to obtain me some good seeds.
Yeah.
And he got them from one of the first medical dispensaries that was actually open in the San Francisco area on Haight Street. I believe it was called the Vapor Room. And that was back in like 06, 07.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's so a legend, too.
He sent me some of my first like real seeds instead of me buying like a dime bag here in the area. Because I moved here when I was about 12. I moved here when I was in seventh grade, so it was about that age.
With the crispy skin.
Yeah,
the crispy skin.
Yeah, I was born
outside
in San Jose, California. So I was born in the Bay Area, so I would always go back every chance that I got. And, you know, the first time I ever smoked California Chronic, I want to say it was probably my sophomore year when I went to go stay with my uncle one time.
Never going back.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I remember I had gotten in trouble over here for smoking weed. So my mom sent me over there like, oh, you're going to go stay with your uncle. And then my uncle's like, oh, yeah, you're going to come over here. I'll make sure he's good. And then when I got there, he's like, oh, here, smoke this. I'm like, yeah. So it was the first time like I
shout out, Theo. All the Theos out there, shout out.
Yeah, exactly. So from there, when I got those seeds, I had saved up a lot of money being a little kid. Genetics back then were hard to come by. It wasn't like nowadays where you can just jump on Instagram and you can message a breeder because all the breeders are pretty much on Instagram.
Yeah, we all know each other, right?
Yeah, so back then you had to really either risk it and order them from overseas, or you had to know where to get them.
In the back of the books?
Yeah, so not all those medical dispensaries in California had seeds. Certain ones had them, and my uncle was able to find a certain dispensary in his area that had them. So he sent me a few packs. I remember some of the first strains that I first obtained, the genetics that I had, real genetics, not just El Paso Dirtweed seeds. I mean, shout out to El Paso Dirtweed, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, shout out them Brick Boys.
Up on it. Yeah, but honestly, the first strains, genetics I ever had in my hands, seed-wise, is Sensi Star, Northern Lights, Purple Kush, Sour Diesel. So just original strains that were coming up during that time.
I want to get into lineage breakdown. I want to talk about all that. But
yeah,
let me ask this first right now. Just give us a simple breakdown for people who actually want to get into the medical cannabis aspect. Please give them a very simple break, you know. What's the difference between, you know, smoking flower and obviously herb? Okay. Like, you know,
well, if you're going to get into it for the medical aspect and you're doing it for you, you're not trying to profit. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to teach in these classes that are going to come up is a way for you to be able to have quality and flower that, you know, is not contaminated with either chemicals are not supposed to grow with or chemicals are using to keep insects and, you know, things that are going to harm
pesticides,
your plant out. Yeah, pesticides, exactly. So I want to be able to do that because when it comes to medical marijuana, you know, you just want it to be clean and real medical. You know what I mean? Because you're smoking something, it might look good, it might smell good, but you don't know who grew it. You don't know where it came from. You know what I mean? Even sometimes when you're getting from the dispensaries, you know what I mean? So I want to be able to show the average person how easy it is, how it doesn't really take much money to invest in a small little grow for yourself where you can always have a legal amount and enough for to last you pretty much all the time. You know what I mean? There's no reason why you shouldn't have your own homegrown cannabis. You know what I mean?
Especially laws are changing very much now where people in New Mexico, Colorado, you can have 4 to 5, 8 plants.
Exactly. In our area here in New Mexico, every adult who lives in New Mexico will have up to 6 mature female plants. So, cannabis plants. So, I mean, that's a good thing right there. So, you have you and your girlfriend are growing, or you and your wife, or you and your boyfriend, whatever it be. You guys have up to 12 plants growing, and that's more than enough for you and the people that you care about to have some good quality smoke for the year.
So, I know you just either about to start, or by the time this podcast comes out, already started these classes. Yep. So you give that breakdown, right? You tell people this is how much you can grow. You tell them within the legal limits what they can do.
So how these pretty much how this class came to me was just an idea because I've been wanting to teach a class. I don't know if I wanted to teach a music class and help kids learn how to make like hip hop beats or, you know, I was just trying to see where I wanted to go. And for some reason, it was just like, oh, I've been teaching a few friends how to do it. And I've noticed how easy it is. Like just on their first grow alone, they're able to produce a flower that is like, oh man, this guy looks like he knows what he's doing.
Real yield.
And it's not really that you have to know what you're doing, but with a little guidance and a little bit of just knowledge, it's really simple. It's not really as hard as some people make it out to be. Back in the day when growing was more of a taboo and there wasn't as many people doing it as today, the methods and the tricks and stuff, if you want to call them, were like held sacred. It's kind of like how tattooing used to be. Like not everyone used to do it, but now everyone could fucking do it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like anyone and their cousin can tattoo now. And that's the same with cannabis. Anyone and their cousin can grow it because all the knowledge is out there now. Mm. It's not held and it's not secret like it used to be. So,
absolutely.
And I believe, you know, it's just a plant. So, you know what I mean? Everyone deserves to learn how to grow it and grow it the best for themselves, especially if they're out there consuming it and they're not trying to out there just trying to make a dollar off of it. They should definitely learn and be able to grow it themselves.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just so,
absolutely.
Especially in a, like our saying, it's happening in our area now. So, you know, there's people that out there who've been smoking just as long as I have. So
before I ask about the specifics of the classes, dates, time, whatever, in your legit opinion, when do you think it's going to be legal in Texas or decriminalized in Texas at least?
Honestly, yeah, that's what we need to work for first is the decriminalization before we can head towards legalization. But if you look back over the last few years, even the last 4 or 5 years, little by little, the decriminalization is happening. So, I mean, hopefully I had people that were telling me that were in the Austin area close to politicians that, oh, by 2022, it's going to be there. But I see it more like maybe give it another year or two before see it moving. Yeah. You know
absolutely.
I mean? Because it's already somewhat medical here. So I think once they expand some of those medical laws and they start approving more, I guess, reasons why you'd be able to receive medical marijuana, because right now it's kind of like strict on what they allow to or what qualifies you for it. So I believe once they start expanding and they see that, especially during the coronavirus and all that, they really saw the areas that have legalization already were still able to maintain.
Oh, yeah.
And because of cannabis, you know what I mean? Yeah. They made sure those were open. If anything was staying open, it was those, you know, the dispensaries and everything, so...
Because we're a medical, baby. Yeah. It was medical.
We need it. And it's not hurting no one. When you have people not going out in the streets and meeting up with drug dealers and stuff like that, it takes away a lot of the risk.
Absolutely.
Whether it be you getting in trouble by the police because you're purchasing something illegally, or whether you being robbed or taken advantage of and then or end up with something that's not even good for you to put into your body. You know what I mean? So
them bonsai fertilizers that they were handing out back in the day. You
yeah,
know?
Exactly. So...
I go to your class. Let's say I go to your class. Let's say I sign up. You're doing this weekly, monthly? What are we doing now?
We would meet up once a week.
Once a week.
And it would be 10 classes. So it would be about, you know, 2 months and a half pretty much. You know, 2 to 2 months and a half. And it would be long enough for me to show you the process. Basically, on the first day, we'd probably all meet up, get to know each other. I would explain the class to you a bit. I would also probably ask the class what their expectations are, what they would want to know. And I can pretty much break down what they'd be able to walk away with out of this class. And of course, they would already kind of know what they would be walking away with. Because when I put out that who would be interested in this class on my Instagram, I pretty much wanted to see if there would be enough people interested to where it would be worth running the class.
Absolutely.
So now that I know it is worth running the class, I have a list of people who are interested. So as soon as it's legal, I'm actually I'm talking to already a couple people that own businesses there where we would be able to meet up in the area. You know, I'm looking for the Sunland Park area.
Yeah.
That way we can get people from maybe Las Cruces area, Sunland Park, and
El Paso. Juaritos.
Exactly. So, yeah, exactly. So that's the hood. So I want to be able to get people in the neighborhood to come out and learn as well. So, you know what I mean? And pretty much the
10
first
classes.
Yeah, the first day we'll germinate seeds. You know what I mean? I'll show you guys a couple of methods because there's not one right way to do it. It's how you feel comfortable with it. So I'll have a few methods that we can try. We'll try a few methods out. Next week we'll come back and that'll be more than enough time for the seeds to have germinated. So from there I'll teach you guys how to put them in the soil. I'll teach you guys how to plant them, and the next step we can learn how to feed them and water them. I'll be breaking down, you know, how to feed them. Pretty much it's how to maintain them, how to care for them, how to train them, how to feed them. Because most people think you just give a plant water and it grows. No. It will grow. But however, when it comes to a plant that produces fruit, it takes more than just water to get the bud to grow.
A true science.
Yeah, exactly. Because we can drink water. Water is healthy for us, right? We can drink a lot of water and that's good. But if you're just drinking water and you're not eating anything or in taking nutrient and stuff like that, then you're not going to be that healthy.
You're not, you know, growing. I mean?
It goes the same for a plant. If they want to produce, they have to be healthy and they need the nutrients that are required to produce the fruit. So I would be able to help you understand what it takes to grow a cannabis plant from seed to harvest.
All the way up.
All the way out, yeah.
Wow.
And so the first class, the 10 classes, are going to be pretty much everything you're going to need to know through the vegetative stage. Mm-hmm. And by the end of that class, you'll be able to go home with the plant as well. If that's what you wanted. Yeah, of course. Because we'll all be growing together. We'll be growing plants together. Every time we meet up, we'll see our plants. Everyone will have a specific plant. Like, oh, well, maybe we'll, after they germinate, we can all pick plants. And I use DNA test kits. So by the time they're 10 days years old, those plants, we'll be able to send, I'll show you guys how to take samples of them, ship them out to DC and find out whether they're female or male or not.
Yeah.
Before they even get to this stage. Because sometimes when you grow, it takes time, it takes money, it takes materials. So sometimes you don't want to grow for 2 months to find out it's a male plant. And you're like, damn, I fucking spent 2 months growing. Well, now we have the science to find out when they're only 7 to 10 days years old.
So, yeah. Wow. Yeah. I, you know, back in the, obviously,
yeah, things have changed from when I started growing. Different. Yeah, it's changed because I'm going on about 13, 14 years of really growing.
Uh-huh.
But since I've had a plant in my closet with all those fails and stuff like that, it's been about 15 years, you know, so a lot of things have changed. And the reason I want to show people how to grow mainly is because when I started growing, it was very hard to obtain quality genetics.
Absolutely.
It was hard to obtain the information that you needed to grow quality flower. Mm-hmm. And I just want to share that because when I did it, it was hard and it was I didn't have a lot of money being that young. Yeah, so it took me saving up money to send to my uncle to give him the money to give me good quality genetics and then take the risk of him mailing them to me and then buying seeds. After that, I bought seeds online from, I want to say, Attitude Seed Bank. That was probably when my daughter was like 1 or 2 years old, and she was born in 2013.
Yeah.
And so that's when I really went heavy into breeding, was in 2013, 2014. No, in 2013, 2014 is when I started breeding, not just growing weed and smoking it and selling some to my friends.
This is the mad scientist part
of
the story. And I was going to ask you this. Give us as simple as a breakdown, because you have a lot of lineage. You have a lot of prestige behind all the seeds. I mean, I know you talk about some things are like strawberry kush mixed with Northern Lights and all. And first of all, just clarify this for the people. Acapulco Gold and Maui Waui don't exist anymore, right?
Well, I mean, they do exist probably in the areas where they originated from, because those were more land race strains, more... they came from a certain area. So, you know what I mean? Just like Acapulco probably came from the Acapulco area. You know what I mean? It was probably a certain sativa. Mm-hmm. And when it came in from Mexico, when their people were getting pounds or weed, they called it Acapulco Gold. You know what I mean? So now I see it is rare to find them, but they probably do exist. Some people probably do have the cuts and they do. Yeah.
But they're not as strong as now.
Oh no.
You know, cause like,
oh yeah.
I've investigated you. I looked at it and I said, wow, this is so much lineage, so much history behind every seed. Like, let's break down the Majin Buu one.
Yeah.
That has so much taste behind
that. Yeah, Majin Buu was my first creation. Reason why it came to be was, like I mentioned, being that young and trying to spend my money on quality genetics and waiting for them to come in the mail through customs and hoping they come. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
When I finally had good seeds, It hit me one time. I'm like, oh, this is a male. And I was getting ready to kill it.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, because I was learning about and I was reading about pollinating and stuff like that and breeding and stuff, but it never crossed my mind to actually do it until one day when I was going to kill out my male that I had. It was a sour diesel, Afghani Hawaiian sour diesel male. And I had a purple kush plant, a beautiful purple kush. It was beautiful green and underneath pink. And so when I hit that, I was like, I can either kill this male or I can pollinate this female and I'll have seeds forever.
Yeah.
So that's what it kind of hit me, because I was like, it's so hard to get seeds and it's expensive to get seeds, especially that was around 2013, 2012. It was different. Instagram was probably barely coming up. You know what I mean? Like really? Yeah. And so when I hit that first plant, I was like, oh, I got hella fucking seeds. I have over a couple thousand seeds the first time I do it. You know what I mean? Yeah, so yeah. So then the next time I meet up with a friend and we actually trade a few seeds. Like I have seeds in my collection and I trade him some seeds that I had first made. Those seeds, those Afghani Hawaiian Sour Diesel Cross Purple Kush. I didn't have a name for them or nothing. Mm. It was just a cross that I made.
That sounds delicious. Yeah. Every time you say that, it sounds delicious.
Yeah. It's pretty much one of the staples in Majin Buu. Mm. So after I traded with the homie, who I met through, Instagram, who's from the Boston area. And, he sent me out some seeds. He sent me out what is called Reefer Man Skunk. And so that is Reefer Man Glue. I apologize.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And Reefer Man Skunk is one of the original skunks from Reefer Man.
Yeah.
And, it was a Reefer Man Skunk cross with a Girl Scout glue from Captain's Connection. And Captain's Connection during that time was really big. In 2013, 2012, he was winning like awards and stuff like that for the highest. He had one of the highest like tested strains over like 36% THC. And that was back in like 2013.
Wow.
But anyways, the homie from Massachusetts lived only maybe a couple hours away from him. He was in Maine and he was in Massachusetts, but he bred with a lot of his work. And so I traded with what I was working with to what he had.
Yeah.
And one of the strains was that Reefer Man glue. So that Girl Scout glue is from Captain's Connection. And he crossed it with that old school Reefer Man skunk to make the Reefer Man glue. And I used that Reefer Man glue to hit to the Afghani Hawaiian Sour Diesel cross Purple Kush.
That's a lot of ingredients.
That was my first name. So that was my first that was my first planned breeding project. It wasn't like, oh, should I kill this male or should I use it to pollinate? No, it was like, oh, I'm going to find a male out of this Reefer Man skunk and I'm going to hit it to these seeds that I made.
Yeah.
Cause I was already growing those seeds that I made already for a few months. I was already into probably my second or third grow with them. So I was taking clones off them already.
Yeah, yeah.
And I already had keepers that looked just like the mom that I was growing, that beautiful pink underneath with those green. I was still looking not for just a purple flower, because back then I didn't really like purple flowers just because they kind of smoke harsh.
Okay.
So I like that green flower that has the like pink and purple hues where the tips are purple.
Oh, yeah.
Or the underneath is pink or purple. So when I had those females, I was like, oh man,
my mouth's watering. You're talking about my mouth's watering.
I want to breed with these. So that's when I popped those seeds of those Reefer Man glue and I found a male, and he was a triploid actually. I don't know the exact word for it when it grows with three leaves at the same time.
Okay.
But anyways, this one grew and I was hoping that it was going to be a female, because I was like, oh, this one grew with three leaves at one time. Usually they grow with two leaves at a time. And this one had three. And so it was growing and it turned out to be a male. And that was the one that I kept. I ended up pollinating Afghani Hawaiian Sour Diesel Purple Kush. And I ended up pollinating some Blue Widows from Dynafem. This is an old school strain.
Yeah.
And those were my first two crosses. It was Grand Elder and it was Majin Buu. Yeah. And from there,
El Cayo Supremo for the Spanish speakers.
Yeah, after that, it was just popping seeds and hunting and breeding. After that, it was just, I wasn't even growing weed with no seeds anymore. Because
so we're talking 20 generations to get to one plant.
Well, not 20 generations, but like, I guess if you go back to the days from when those original strains came out, then yeah, you know what I mean? But for me, yeah, it was a few projects in until I actually had the first like real strain that I was able to name myself. And then from there, I was crossing it to everything I found that I liked. So
how long does it typically take you to grow, groom, prune, you know, put out, seed out, you know, for a one plant?
Okay, so if I'm breeding, if I already have females selected, or I already have clones or proven females that are worth crossing, then the process is a lot easier. It could be anywhere from me cloning some females or getting some clones. And as soon as I get them, we start the growing process, and it'll probably be maybe a month and a half, 2 months of vegetation. And then it takes about another 2 months to flower. So it could be anywhere from 8 to 10 weeks of flower. So
oh, yeah.
I want to say probably about 8.5 to 10 weeks of veg, 8.5 to 10 weeks of flower.
So you already, that's a whole cycle right there, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, 3 to 4 months, 3.5, 4 months. Wow. Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I remember back in the day, I mean, we obviously we were growing in there, you know, yeah, it was exactly. Different. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Now it's so much easier. And I, you know, I appreciate the agriculture aspect of it, but you know, generation to generation, how do you keep quality? Like, is it the same seeds or are you just going back to the originals and starting over again? Or no, how do you keep yourself?
For a while, like for a good, I want to say 5 or 6 years, I was using the same male. I would just clone the same Majin Buu male that I had. Because the reason I chose him, once I had my Majin Buu cross,
yeah,
I grew out a bunch of females and I kept one male. I probably grew probably back then with the space that I had. I was only able, before I started really breeding, to pop a few seeds of each strain. But with the Majin Buu, I popped probably 100, and I kept 50 plants. And then once I got them through vegetation, I killed more than half of them. And I kept about maybe, once I started flowering them, I kept probably 6 females around. And I kept 2 males around and ended up going through flower with those and picking out 1 male and keeping about 3 females around for probably a few years.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, and I was using those to breed around for a while.
Yeah.
Especially the male. I was making a lot of strains using that same male over and over.
Just because it came out so or what did you like mainly about that Majin Buu?
What made me pick it is how vigorous it grew. Oh. During veg, it was the big, by the time veg was over and it was time to flip them to make them flower, it was always the biggest plant. Mm. Not only was it the biggest plant, because males usually always get big, but it had a structure like a female, like it had nice noding. Like I would look at it and I would say, if this is a female, oh, that would be a nice female. So what made me was like, oh, this male has that nice female structure where if it was to flower like a female, it would be nice, easy to trim, probably big buds. The way that it was structured, it would get nice lighting. It just had it was easy to train. So, but it was super vigorous, just like a male. It grew super fast. So I was like, I want to use this because it grows super fast like a male, but it keeps that nice female structure. Very strong. And so when I crossed it the first couple times, I noticed that his genetics were strong. Like you can see it when you'd pop my female seeds on the Prodigy or what would come from it, they would grow just like it. Fast, vigorous, easy to grow plants. So that's the one reason I like it, is my plants are super high quality and easy to grow. So
What do you look for in nuances and tastes? What do you look for when it comes to, like, I'm going to breed this plant, I'm going to make this something, you know, this is going to be my new project. What do you look for? What do you look for?
I mean, you try to look for an all-around good plant, something with beautiful terpene profiles. That's where you get your smell and your taste from. But you also want quality, and sometimes it's hard to get both. Mm. So you want to try to either find something in between, or you're either going to find a plant that's super, super terpy. Like, okay, like maybe it's not the strongest when you smoke it, but it has a nice high, but it's super terpy.
Yeah.
So let's cross it to the Majin Buu, because the Majin Buu's got the kick. You know what I mean? So I'll hit him with that Majin Buu. I'll take something that was super terpy, had nice resin production, however, it didn't have a nice kick to it. Mm. And you hit him with that Majin Buu, and the Majin Buu is a couch lock strain. You know what I mean? So it ups it. And when I'm growing those plants, I try to look for more plants that just have unique terpene profiles. Mm. And because Majin Buu, I already know it has that punch.
Yeah.
It has what I'm looking for as far as passing down genetics, where the flowers are going to look beautiful. My plants, multiple strains are known to be pink.
Yeah.
Like mostly, like when you get color plants, they're more traditionally purple, but mine's carry the more pinker tones. Mm-hmm. I do have pink and purple plants, but I do pride myself in the fact that you can find some nice pink flowers.
Why is it pink? The person who doesn't know.
Yeah, just my selection. Ever since I started really taking the breeding seriously, and when I selected those Majin Buu mother plants, the Purple Kush, Afghani Hawaiian Sour Diesel, the females that I ended up working with and selecting, I made sure they were all had that pink undertone, that they all were beautiful in color. So that's where I went from there. So, and then just the years of going through, I try to look for the same plants, and just so I can keep passing down those traits.
Well, I mean, I could see them right here. They look beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, quite frankly. And I could see why you call it a Majin Buu.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it smells beautiful in here.
Yeah.
So, you know, let me say this. Agriculture is obviously one of the oldest sciences and arts. you know, been passed down from generation to generation. You're doing that. You're trying to help people that. But I also see that you're moving into the next generation of things. Can you please talk about the Seedling.io blockchain? What is that? What is that project?
So pretty much, I was asked to be a part of that project, Seedling.io, and it's an NFT project. Okay. I was asked to come on as pretty much a breeder, so they could have someone who really does what they're representing, mm-hmm. someone who's been doing it for years. They wanted growers to kind of back them, you know what I mean? Because from what I was told, the Hug Wolf, that's one of the guys who's pretty much, he's like their social guy. He's handling, like, as far as reaching out to people who to be part of the project.
Okay.
He's going to be doing, like, the social media stuff. But he reached out to me, and I know him because I've been selling him seeds for a long time. He's been a supporter for a long time. Mm-hmm. So he pulled me on to this project, telling me that they wanted, and I'm not the only breeder part of the project, but I am the house breeder. I'm the pretty much, like, the face breeder of the project. And it's just pretty much to incorporate the NFT and the technology that is coming out and mm-hmm. is inevitable pretty much into the cannabis world. You know what I mean? So with the NFTs, from my understanding, how it's going to be working is they'll be able to turn genetics into a digital, not just a digital asset, but a digital backing where mm-hmm. the genetics, where it was proven that what you're
growing,
the science was proven that the seed that you have is what it is.
It's going to be
like if they say it's an, like if they say it's an Acapulco gold mm-hmm. cross train wreck, they're able to do what they have to do scientifically, you know, send it out to the lab and check the genetics on it and the genetic profile and make sure that it is what it said it was.
Yeah.
And then they mint the NFT. So yeah. to prove it, that it is what it is, but it's going to be more than that. So I still need to understand more because honestly, okay. like I said, I'm not developing it. I don't know the full thing of it, but I will pretty soon. You know what I mean? It is under development still, and it will be launched, and we're going to have more information on that soon. And I'll definitely know more about it really soon too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's super interesting. We're moving up into that. Now, what is the farthest your seeds have traveled?
Oh man. It would have to be somewhere in the middle because I would say I've sent to the more of like some places in Asia, like okay. Indonesia.
Wow.
I sent to Australia, New Zealand. I sent to Chile.
Damn.
Pretty much anywhere you could think of, I'd probably send. You know what I mean? Like it's, there's probably a few like Eastern European countries I haven't sent to, but I've sent to Spain, everywhere in the UK, Germany. Pretty much a lot of places in South America. I've probably never Brazil. I don't recall ever sending to Brazil. But
what's your favorite foreign strain? What have you had a privilege of growing or that kind of kept to you?
Like something out of the country?
Whatever you think. What's your favorite right now? Because it's always what the growers, you know.
Well, my favorite right now, personally, is my Majin Vegeta.
Oh,
that's my favorite all time strain.
Complete.
Yeah, it's complete because it's the type of strain where I can smoke during the day, but if I smoke a lot of it, it can put me to sleep. Mm. So if you like smoke it the right way, it keeps you up, it keeps you high, it keeps you going, makes good for being creative, and it stinks. I have a strain that I used to call the Pheno. I named it Chicken Pot Pie because it smelt like to me. It had this sour dankiness, like just like a straight sour, like someone's got some, like your mom would know you have some weed on you. Yeah. You know what I mean? But when you really smell it, it smells like it had a chicken pot pie smell. Damn. I would even ask my wife, I'm like, what does it smell like? She's like, it smells like a pot roast. And I'm like, oh, this is chicken pot pie. It smelled like you had a fat sack of weed and you went to your family's Thanksgiving dinner and you forgot to take it out of your pocket before you went in and everyone at the table smells it. They're like, but they smell the food too. That's exactly what
we're going
what
it for a walk.
Yeah.
Quote unquote walk. You know, before we wrap this up, before we do, cause I know you're going to go live on Twitch soon. You know, you're about to drop some tunes again. Now let me make sure I get this right. Please talk about the Tarumala or Tarumara project.
Yep. Tarugumala. That's my aunt. Yeah, and so she's my aunt, and we're only 2 years apart. She's my mom's sister.
Yeah,
we pretty much grew up together like brother and sister. So she lives in Compton, California. She lived out here in El Paso for a while too, for a few years. Mm-hmm. She's originally from San Jose, California, just like me. But I produced pretty much that whole album, every single beat mm-hmm. that is on that album that she released, which is, I have the link in my Instagram.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, I produced every single beat for her. So I'm working on my album next. I have a few songs already done and everything like that, but, I'm working on mine's next. Yeah.
You got the studio queued up right now. I'm looking right at it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
besides growing, he's a beat scientist as well.
Yeah, man. I'm an artist, man. You know, I've been painting and drawing and making music ever since I was a kid, and it's just gone to another level for me. You know, I make logos for people. I make my own logos. I make my own art. And I make my own music.
Yeah, those are sick. Yeah, all those anime inspired situations, they're dope.
Yeah.
You had those shirts that were badass. Every sticker has a little thing to it.
Yeah,
like, I'm looking at the Ghost Genetics. It looks like the Capsule Corp.
All of it is my art. It's all my creativity. It's all my original art.
So you're doing all this. You're creating all this. Obviously, you got a lot on your plate. But what is next? What is next? What is your next big project? What are you focusing on in the next year?
Well, right now, like just how I mentioned that Majin Vegeta is my favorite strain right now of mine. I'm currently working on a Majin Vegeta project. So I'm working on F2s right now.
Yeah.
It's the second generation. I'm working on a back cross. So I'm back crossing the F1 back to one of the original parents. And not only that, I'm putting out a line of other females that I've selected that I'm crossing to the Majin Vegeta, or that I'm using the Majin Vegeta to pollinate. So there'll be like maybe at least a good maybe... I want to say 10 to 15 new strains coming out this year.
My goodness.
Yeah, I don't like to put out a lot of strains. Like other breeders can put out multiple strains and do multiple crosses all year long.
Yeah.
I like to, you know, breed some new strains, test them out, run them myself a little bit, give them to some friends. And then, you know, I want to make sure they're good. They're reliable and ready to go before I get them out mass production. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, brother, that's a lot of information, a lot of knowledge you dropped, and I really appreciate it. I know the people of El Paso Juarez, Las Cruces, like, you know, we're all looking forward to all this, man. Please give us your socials. Please give us all those stuff where we can reach you, where we can find you, because you got a lot of info to give.
Yeah, you know, the main way to get at me and the main way to get at me for the last freaking 9 years is Instagram. So that's at Ghost Genetics. No spaces, no underscores. It's just GHOSTGENETICS. Ghost Genetics. That's it.
You got it there, guys. I mean, please make sure you go check out Ghost Genetic, some of the best strains. I know award-winning. You won. How many awards have you won now?
Well, you know, we haven't won any, like, big award, but this year that just passed, the New Mexico Harvest Cup.
Yeah.
Out of 300 strains, flower strains that were entered to compete, we placed sixth for our Super Sour Ghost Kamikaze. So out of 300 strains, and it was one of our friends, Bird, from the actual New Mexico area, not too far from here.
Mm-hmm.
But he actually grew the plant out. He didn't hunt it. It was just the first time him growing. He hadn't cloned it. He hadn't ran it to it what it could really be ran at, its fullest potential. But he just entered it because he's like, yo, the cup is coming up. I have some flowers that are harvesting, and they look really fucking good. They actually tested at 29% THC, which is a great flower, you know what I mean? And they pulled a sixth place, you know what I mean? It's not podium, but we're getting there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
and
we're
putting on for the Sun City. We're putting on for the Southwest. And
absolutely.
Yeah, everything I do is just for what I grew up with, this area. We got to put it up on the map. We're pioneering it. So when it does go legal in Texas, they already know who was doing it first.
Oh, right here. Ghost Genetics first, y'all. EP Culture Beat, your source for the underground arts and culture of El Paso Juarez. Make sure you like, subscribe. This is Love Sucio, baby. Stay sweet. Don't change. I appreciate y'all. Ghost Genetics. Hit them up, y'all. Thank you, guys.
Bye. Ghost Genetics. Grow harder. Stay trying.